The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. Just a few minutes ago, I had absolutely jammed full phone lines, but now I've got a line available if you want to grab it quickly. 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483, and yes, it works anywhere in the continental United States, and yes, it works in the Washington, D.C. area as well. 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. I'm really curious how this has impacted you. Your family, your home. How you doing? I just talked to a young man. He and his wife both have lost their jobs through this. They honestly don't know how they're going to be paying their rent. I think that's going to be multiplied many times over all across America. Are you okay? You handling it all right? I'd love to hear from you. 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Next, we're going to head to Cincinnati, Ohio, and talk to Preston. Hey, Preston, how are you today?
I'm good, Bob. Real good. This is a great opportunity, bad as it is, to get the gospel out. Mm-hmm. We need to be telling people about Jesus because people are afraid, and this is our turn to step up. Because Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men for the believers. And if we're believers, we ought to be fishermen of souls, tell people about the Lord so that they can get things right, so they don't have to be afraid of times like this.
Yeah. It's interesting that you said it's our turn, and I certainly agree with you. It's our turn to get the gospel out. It's our turn to use this as an opportunity to share Christ with others, to minister to other people. But you know, Preston, I think it's our turn also to go through a time of real adversity. Honest question, Preston, in your lifetime, have you ever been through anything like what we are going through and what we're going to be going through in the next few weeks?
I think the closest was the World Trade event.
Yeah.
It was the closest.
9/11?
That was a tough time. This seems to be this is different. If what the politicians and the doctors are saying, a lot of people will lose their lives.
Yeah.
Hope they don't, but it kind of sounds that way. But we have the good news because at some time and point, everybody's going to leave here. And if they know Christ, they're good to go.
Yeah. Well, of all the people on planet Earth who should not be panicked, it is we who know Christ, we
right.
who believe the promises of God. We should be rock solid in our faith and our confidence as we go through this.
We should be. We should be. And let me correct myself. It's always been our time to share the gospel.
Well, that's true. But it is a unique opportunity that we have not had before.
That's right. So we ought to step up and be bold and in love, share the gospel. Some will reject, some will accept, but our job is just to get it out there.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit will do the rest.
Amen, brother. Always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
You are. Mm-hmm.
All right. That's Preston in Cincinnati, Ohio, and with him hanging up, I've got a phone line available for you, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. I want to share something with you before I go on to other stories or other phone calls. For those of you in Washington, D.C., you know very, very little about me. I'm a disembodied voice that you hear occasionally. I have the privilege somewhat often to sit in for Don Crow, but you really don't know me. My wife and I just celebrated 50 years of marriage. December 21st, we celebrated our 50th anniversary. Fortunately, we were both raised in Christian homes. From the time we met, our goal, our desire has been to honor God, to honor Christ. And we have been in ministry our entire married life. We don't know anything but being in ministry. Through the years, we have used all kinds of devotional books, devotional sources, but through all of those years, our favorite devotional book is called The Daily Light on the Daily Path. It's been around for at least 150 years, and it's unique because it's only Scripture. No commentary. It is only Scripture. And each day, morning and evening, there is a particular theme. And the folks who put this together way over 150 years ago brought together different scripture verses from all over the Bible, Old and New Testament, concerning a central theme, and they put them together. And I can't even tell you how this little book, Daily Light on the Daily Path, has ministered to my wife and I countless times. We have faced a huge decision, a time of crisis, and we've just opened up the Daily Light to that particular day, and it was exactly what we needed. This happened over and over and over again. I want to share with you from May 1st. This is from May 1st. This is the morning reading of the Daily Light, May 1st. And I want you to listen to this, and I just believe there are some of you who need this. Listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. God has called us to peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Great peace have they which love thy law. That's a compilation of scripture around the theme of peace. From the book of Galatians, Romans, 1 Corinthians, the Gospel of John, again, the book of Romans, 2 Timothy, two verses out of Isaiah, Proverbs, and the book of Psalms. And I think my favorite is the very last verse from Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. There's so much panic. so much hysteria, anxiety. My wife and I were talking yesterday. As we go through this for the next several weeks, and it's not going to be over in a few days, this is going to take weeks. It's going to be an enormous amount of depression rise up. People who have never suffered with anxiety are going to experience it. People who have not suffered with depression will experience it. I continue to say this, and forgive me for being repetitious, but I think it's important. We are to be lights in a world of darkness, and we are to be the picture of calm and peace in the storms that are raging not only around America, but around the world. Peace. Peace is our promise from God.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. I would cover this story whether we were on in Washington, D.C. or not. But since we are simulcasting in Columbus, Ohio, and in Washington, D.C., this story has a little more importance. And I just want to congratulate those of you in Washington, D.C. for the fine Museum of the Bible. My wife and I have not been there yet. We desperately want to come. Hopefully we can do it. We've talked about it even this summer. But what a privilege you folks in Washington have to host in your community the Museum of the Bible. And even though I haven't been there, my respect and honor for the museum has been very high since the time it was announced. I know somewhat about the Green family and the Hobby Lobby business and so forth. But my respect and my honor has gone up a considerable amount today. Some of you may be familiar with the controversy over some Dead Sea Scroll fragments that were on display at the Museum of the Bible. And I don't know a whole lot about museums, but I know that what you have on display gives you your credibility, your panache, if you will, in the museum community. If you have something extremely unique, something extremely unusual, something extremely valuable, that just increases your influence in the museum community. Well, for a Bible museum or the Museum of the Bible, there could be nothing higher on the scale of importance than actual Dead Sea Scroll fragments. So when the Museum of the Bible announced that they had some actual original fragments, this was huge. And then there were questions about their authenticity. The folks at the Museum of the Bible were pretty certain they had done their homework. They thought that they were genuine. They were authentic. And then they found that five of the fragments were forgeries. That was back in 2018. The secular media got hold of that thing. And it's a bunch of phony forgeries. The Museum of the Bible immediately admitted it. And they immediately removed those five fragments that had been considered to be forgeries. Now, Here's what the Museum of the Bible did immediately. They called in some of the top experts in the world to do an independent, autonomous examination of the other Dead Sea Scrolls that were housed in the museum. Important. Independent, autonomous, because the Museum of the Bible said, if they're forgeries, we are the ones that want to find out. Which brings me to the story. Here it is. The Museum of the Bible announced that an extensive independent investigation into the 16 fragments of the Dead Sea Scrolls housed in the Washington, D.C.-based museum concluded that the fragments, believed by experts and museum leadership to be authentic, were, in fact, forgeries. After five of the museum's fragments were found to be forgeries in 2018, museum leadership decided to enlist the help of art fraud investigator Colette Lowell and her company. Lowell told National Geographic that she insisted on independence during the investigation, and the museum was more than willing to oblige. Quote, this is one of the top art fraud experts in the world. Here's what she said about the Museum of the Bible, and I quote, honestly, I've never worked with a museum that was so up front. Quote, the museum's willingness and eagerness to find the truth led to several key discoveries that debunked the fragment's authenticity. And then the story goes on as to how they discovered it. And the forgers were very, very, very good and detailed. And these fragments fooled a number of experts on antiquity scrolls and so forth. Anyway, all 16 have been deemed forgeries because of the insistence of the Museum of the Bible to get to the truth. God bless them. Good for them. May their tribe increase. This kind of honesty, integrity, and character is exactly how a Christian organization should be characterized. So good for them. And again, to those of you in the Washington, D.C. area, congratulations for having the Museum of the Bible in your community. And as I said, can't wait to go. Hope that we can sometime soon. And those of you in the Washington, D.C. area, if you haven't been, you need to go. Hey, Lord willing, we will be back right here, same place tomorrow. I have the privilege of sitting in for Don Crow tomorrow as well. I hope you have a wonderful evening. Be at peace in the midst of this storm. And wherever you go and whatever you do, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.